In this edition of Culture Snob's 5-Minute Series, we'll be talking about the ending of the original Halloween from 1978 and the transformation that happens to Michael Myers over the course of the movie, but specifically in the last 5 minutes of the movie. For once, we're going to go a little less than 5 minutes in our scene, and you should start, if you want to watch along, at the 1 hour, 23-minute, 48-second mark. And on the count of three, you'll want to push play. One, two, three. Now, to set this up, at this point, Michael Myers is attacking Laurie Strode in the closet, and she has just stabbed him in the eye with a coat hanger. This is the second time she's injured him. The first time, she stabbed him in the side of the neck with a knitting needle. And here, the third time, she stabs him in the chest with a knife, and he collapses. Now, up to this point in the movie, there's been no indication that Michael Myers is anything except a disturbed young man. Obviously very disturbed, but it's at this point in the movie that something weird starts to happen. If you look at the way he's laid out right here in front of the closet, it's almost as if he is acting as if he would, as he thinks he should if he were injured. The idea being that he is not, at this point, genuinely hurt, but is instead pretending to be. I think this is given credence with what happens in a few minutes, but we'll get to that in a minute. I think what makes Michael Myers different from kind of the slasher villains that followed him was that he's much more ambiguous. There's something about Michael Myers that's between human and inhuman and natural and supernatural that I think this movie gets just right and makes much more powerful. At this point, after Laurie sends the kids away, there's a shot of her in the foreground and him lying on the ground in the background, and he lifts up, and then after he's done that, turns his head. It's almost like he's a crude robot. Again, there's something mechanical about him that is, I think, intensely distressing and not easy to put one's finger on. Why is it that I think this is a scarier monster, at least in its original incarnation, than Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees ever was? And again, as we return here, he kind of lifts his body in a very slow, deliberate way that suggests something beyond human. What's happening in the movie, I think at this point, is that Michael Myers is perhaps becoming a little better understood by the characters and by the audience, but I also think that there's transformation happening. He's getting more powerful, and again, he's just been shot by Donald Pleasence and playing Dr. Loomis, and as he's being shot here again, just look at the reactions. They don't look real. They're not genuine. He's feigning being hurt. So at this point, I think he's essentially fed off the fear, which is brought to a head right here where that's validated by Dr. Loomis when Laurie Strode asks if that's the boogeyman. And he says, as a matter of fact, it was. And the phrasing is very strange. You would almost expect him to respond yes or yes, it was. But the forcefulness of the phrasing, the as a matter of fact, I think confirms that, I guess, completes the transformation, and hence when he looks back on the lawn, Michael Myers is gone, because he is not human, he is now the boogeyman, which is why the movie ends, I think, with these shots with no humans in them and no monster jumping out or jumping back to life, but of empty hallways and empty rooms and long shots of houses, because the boogeyman has gone from a very specific presence to being everywhere, and hence he appears in, at this point, 36 sequels. So, thank you for listening. I could have done without the heavy breathing over the last few seconds, but I didn't make those decisions, did I? I think it would have been a better movie with just the shots of the houses. But so be it. It still works pretty well.